Hi, this is Richard Edelman, and you're listening to The Trust Makers.
Hello there. I'm Jackie Cooper, Global Chief Brand Officer and Senior Advisor at Edelman. I'm joined this week by LinkedIn's Chief Marketing and Communication Officer, Mel Seltzer. Mel is an expert at harnessing the power of communications to create trusted relationships. She previously served as Vice President of Brand Marketing, Corporate Communications and Social Impact at LinkedIn, where she oversaw the evolution of the company's global brand. Under her leadership, BrandZ, the world's largest brand equity database, named LinkedIn one of the top 10 fastest growing brands in the world in 2019 and 2020. Before joining LinkedIn, Mel was the Chief Communications Officer at Cisco Systems. Mel, it's my pleasure to welcome you to The Trustmakers.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
When I heard that you were coming on for this show today, I thought this is such an interesting company to talk about. And my first question was sort of prompted by one of the trust barometer findings, which showed that social media to be the least trusted news source, down 8 points year on year at 37%, while among industry sectors, social media is the most distrusted at 44%. But when we look at the social media landscape, LinkedIn appears to be an outlier when it comes to trust. It seems that we trust LinkedIn, we respect LinkedIn, we probably all have it in our lives. So I think it's so interesting that both personally from having LinkedIn as our social network and professionally to respect that protection of trust, what have you done differently?
Yeah, no, thank you for the question. And I'm really glad that we're having this discussion and having it right now. And I know I speak for the industry when I say thank you to you and to the whole Edelman team for the investment that you put in. I think it's been 19 or 20 barometers at this point, but just to put trust front and center for us. And I will say that I admit reading the latest report, there was a quote that distrust is now the society's default emotion. And that was hard. That was absolutely hard to read. And what that introduces in terms of a loss of civil discourse, respectful debate, collaboration, are all things that definitely keep me up at night. So at LinkedIn, what we know and what we see every day is that humans and humanity are able to accomplish so much more when they come together. And that's sort of the root of what we believe is that when come together with a professional community in pursuit of common goals, whether that's working together, learning from each other, sharing ideas, insights, and experiences, ultimately, that's how we create opportunity for each other and for ourselves. And so with that, like, we're deeply, deeply committed to creating a place for safe, trusted, and professional conversations, because we think that's what has to happen in service of helping professionals be more productive and successful. So there are a couple of things I think we've done that have helped us differentiate as a platform. So I'll talk through a couple of those. First is that we have published professional community policies that detail our expectation that everyone on LinkedIn has an experience that is safe, trusted, and professional. So what does that mean? We're clear that false and misleading content has no place on our site, and we remove it when it's there. We require real identities, so this is differentiating as well. And what you say is tied to your professional identity. So we don't allow fake profiles. We don't allow misleading information about yourself or from your identity. And then we're really clear with members how we use their data. This is really important to our members when we talk to them about trust. We have a framework we call the three C's, which are clarity, consistency, and control. And that's really our way of committing to members that we're extremely clear about what, how, and where we're using any data. We're very consistent over time, and that we're super clear if something changes, both why it's changing and how it's changing. The second piece is that we have built the company with trust at our core. So we've actually embedded trust in our culture and values. It's written down, it's there. And we make earning the trust the job of every LinkedIn employee. It's not the job of a trust team. It's not the job of the executive team. It's the job of every single LinkedIn employee. And we hold ourselves accountable to that. And then most recently, when we were building our hybrid strategy and what it would look like to work at LinkedIn going forward, we put trust at the center of our hybrid strategy. So our hybrid strategy is that we trust each other to work where it works best for us and our teams. And so I think the second key element is just trust is the core of who we are and how we work. And then third is that we're just constantly listening, learning, and soliciting feedback. So we look at all of the Edelman Trust Barometer work. We also do our own trust tracker, where we ask our members constantly to tell us what's most important to them and how we're doing. And I think it might be interesting for your listeners. So the things they tell us, the four most important things in order, they want LinkedIn to be safe and empowering. So they want LinkedIn to be a safe place for members to interact with each other and to share data without concerns of misuse. They want LinkedIn to be credible. So they only want to see real companies, real jobs, and real people. They want to know, third is data security. They just want to know that their data is protected and used responsibly. And then fourth is they care about honesty and integrity. They want to know that we're abiding by local laws and acting in an ethical manner. So I know that was a bit of a long answer. We're not perfect, but I think hopefully what you take away is like we're deeply committed to earning the trust of our members and our customers and employees and have vetted that in how we work.
I mean, it's really interesting to have trust at the core, because one of the things that we see is that this can't be marketing. This has to be bedded into the business, that the employees are your best advocates, but could also be the worst challenge, right, in terms of the experience that your customers have and also the way the culture of the company is run. So to have it bedded through is where we see the best results. Have you used sort of specific tools in your role as a CMO to sort of build and maintain trust in the brand? Particularly, you referenced sort of how you manage information on the platform, but are there any tools specifically that you've used that sort of help you build that? And then I guess, are there areas that you think that you can give specific examples where LinkedIn is super trusted as a result of all of these measures that you've taken? I mean, when you analyze that, you have your trust tracker, where are you scoring highest?
Yeah. So yes, lots of tools. I mean, to your point, like what matters is that it is embedded throughout the company. So the experience that you have doing marketing at LinkedIn is interesting because I can do all the marketing I want, but the experience that you have when you come to the platform is the most powerful expression of our brand and our marketing. So the consistency with what we say and how you experience on the platform is the single most important thing as it relates to earning the trust of our stakeholders. And then to your second point, ensuring that every employee knows that and feels genuinely that and can talk about that and express that in the same way. So we do a trust tracker that I talked about. We also do a brand tracker for all of our campaigns and our work. And there's three things I measure or care about most. First is that we're a brand I love. Second, that our brand I trust. And third is a place that I belong. And so every single piece of marketing we do tracks those three things. And so we're constantly able to just make sure that the things that we're saying are landing and that people are both feeling them, but then also rationally trusting that our actions and that our words are lining up. We use a number of other tools across our communications teams, things like RepTrack, where we're just looking at the different components of trust and understanding kind of how if anything is popping up red or different, that looks at a variety of the different factors that lead into trust. And so I think the things, like I said, that I detailed that come through when we do this data and why people trust us, the real identities really does matter. Like real humans, real companies, real jobs, that's hard work. We have tons of teams that are constantly working to make sure that is true. The policies around safe, trusted, and professional content really, really matters too. And I think that's sort of what we've heard over the last couple of years that our members have really resonated with, is that I can come to LinkedIn and have safe, constructive, positive conversations that feel like they're moving forward. And that this idea that it's professional and that there is an expectation of respect and integrity in how I operate on LinkedIn feels differentiated.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you're talking about your career and how you turn up and what your next move might be. And you're kind of vulnerable if you're not protected that way. So, you know, it's just much more than information. It's literally career changing for people who use LinkedIn and can make their life so much better. And I don't want to dwell on the negative, but just Are there any sort of challenges that you're able to share with us that you faced in building trust in that brand, and areas that you think you need to work on more?
I would tell you, the first, we're not perfect. There are challenges kind of across the board as we operate. And some of those challenges are really interesting in that they are just, I think they're more reflective of just how work is changing and how the definition of professional is changing. And so some of the challenges that we think about is you used to not talk about a lot of topics at work that you do now talk about. So you talk about politics at work, you talk about race at work, you talk about mental health at work. And so creating, to your point, that makes the bar of ensuring that we have an environment where people can be super vulnerable and talk about these things that do define them as professionals and are super important to professional life in a way that is safe is like super important. And there's a ton of work behind that. Figuring out how to do that globally. There's different norms in every country. So something that is a norm in the US around a conversation or even a phrase might be totally different in Germany or in India or in Brazil. And so the global component of really trying to get that right and making sure that we're able to make calls. We make mistakes. Sometimes we take content down that was flagged and actually was right. And so we try in all of those cases to own the mistakes we've made and learn and constantly learn. So I would say commitment to this work is commitment to constantly learning. It's just the environment is changing. We know, I think what is really helpful for us and maybe differentiates of our other is we super clear and super know what we're trying to build and who we are. And then it's just constantly figuring out how we can put the systems around that to make sure that managing a platform of 830 million professionals, that we're able to do that every day.
That's one hell of an audience. I mean, do you think that a lot of the things that you've talked about, I think, are so relevant beyond LinkedIn? So, you know, the fact that the clarity, that whole consistency and control is so important for so many people. And I absolutely love the brand tracker, looking at love, trust, and making sure that I belong. So sort of stepping back and taking a look a bit more broadly, how would you define brand trust and what makes a brand trustworthy? Is it scoring high on those things, or is there a je ne sais quoi that comes in as a result of those things? What's been your experience from watching this track?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm sure you've spent a lot of time too, just sort of wanting to help teams also know how to think about this as we tell everybody that their job is trust. So there are a couple of frameworks I have found really helpful in this work. So first is at LinkedIn, we have talked as long as I've been here and for the decades before I was here about trust as something that you build with consistency over time. And so our former CEO used to talk a lot about this. And I think what's really important that is you can't just tell someone to trust you. You have to earn it, and you have to earn it consistently in how you act and you communicate. And so for us, that gets back to, like I mentioned, like why it's so important to me that trust is codified in both our culture and our values is just values are the decision-making framework that every one of our 20,000 employees should be using. So if we're all using the same decision-making framework, then that consistency builds over time. And then what any of you who experience LinkedIn experience is that true values-driven consistency. And I believe that builds trust. So I'd say that's like sort of principle number one. And then the second principle is I probably, like you've read lots and lots of different definitions of trust. What are the components of trust? They basically break down to the same thing. So I tend to use Harvard professor Frances Fry's framework, where she breaks down trust into three components. And so she talks about authenticity, which is people trust you when they think they're interacting with the real you. Logic, which is they trust you when they have faith in your judgment and your competence. And then empathy, they trust you when you believe you care about them. And so those, and what is hopeful in that is she talks about if you have a gap in any one of those, you can fix it. You just need to know what that gap is, so you can fix it and you can and show that action and that consistency over time. So for us, when I think about authenticity, again, this is like with the real identities, this is real humans on LinkedIn, this is LinkedIn being really clear on who we are and what works on our platform so people know who we are and what they're getting. From Logic, like I said, this is like being really clear about the policies. We're really proactive in sharing when something happens on the platform, what we did about it. Like I said, we're very proactive about owning a mistake if we made it. So that's the Logic piece. We want people to trust that we know what we're doing and how to do it. And then the last is the empathy. And so that's been a really interesting one from a brand perspective, which is I care deeply that people know what LinkedIn stands for in the world. And we stand for creating economic opportunity. And when they know that, then they can feel that like what that translates to is we really care about helping every single professional in the world find their purpose, their meaning, their agency, and like whatever that looks like. There's no one definition of a career or success, but whatever success means to you, there's a community of people that are going to help you get there. So that's been really helpful for me to sort of break down the components and be able to talk about those back to the team.
I've talked to a lot of people who use principles of trust in their business, but your grasp on it is amazing. And thank you for what you said at the beginning of this chat about the trust barometer. Our new brand equity report, which we launched last year, found that 68% said it's more important to be able to trust the brands they buy or use today than in the past. Has this escalated for you when you've had these sort of in the core of your business and as the context that LinkedIn operates in has become more complex? Has the need for trust escalated for you? And has that kind of shifted what you decide to do as CMO?
I absolutely do. And I think, again, I think the findings from the trust barometer really hold the answer here. I mean, I think you all showed a gap of trust between governments and private sector in one of your recent reports. And so I think that has sort of shifted the expectations people have about business. I think consumers, investors, and employees are increasingly expecting companies to step up and seeing companies as having the power, the ability, and really the responsibility to drive change in the world. And so they're choosing those companies. We see it in our data around job shifts, but people are choosing companies whose values align with theirs. And the same is true of consumers who are choosing to buy. So I think for us, I don't know that I think it's a change because trust has been so core and embedded in who we are. I think the change is just realizing, and a lot of this is from employees more than anything, is just realizing that people want to, that employees, and especially Gen Z, and we can talk about Gen Z, want to use both their purchasing power and their time and their energy, so where they spend their time, investing in those companies that they believe are doing the right thing in the world.
Yeah, this is such a burning issue for Gen Zers. I'm so neck deep in all of this right now, and it's just very sobering, but also it's both a challenge and an opportunity if we get this right. And last year, we had the Power of Gen Z study, which showed that 70% of Gen Zers will always fact check what you say and will unfollow you if you're not truthful. And we talk about having to need sort of drop breadcrumbs so that these brilliantly forensic, digitally savvy people can actually check you out, get confirmation that it's safe, trusted, and then they will commit. Have you had to sort of change behavior with making sure that you can look after this increasingly dominant demographic? And what's your, they're the workforce of tomorrow, of course, increasingly.
Absolutely. I'm fascinated by this demographic. And to your point, they're going to be 30% of the US workforce by 2030. So we spend a lot of time thinking and thinking about this demographic. I also think there's a generation that's going to hold us accountable to everything we've just talked about. And we see that more and more. So I love the data points you showed. We, from a employment perspective, we do a workforce confidence index. And in February, 25% of Gen Z respondents told us that they were planning to leave their current employer with next 6 months, and 80% were leaving for better alignment with their values. So what I love about this generation is they don't just say it, they actually do it. And we see that in their job changes. So they are willing to put their time, their energy, and their resources growing up to make the world a better place. And so it gives me a lot of hope in the future. For us on the platform, this is, as you mentioned, this is like they're social first, they're mobile first. They're really comfortable expressing themselves in a variety of formats. There's a lot of work we're doing on the platform side to make sure that the platform continues to be a place where they feel comfortable. You'll hear me talk a lot about this notion of that they belong. And this is one of the key brand elements of LinkedIn, is just continuing to build the platform so more and more people feel like they belong on the platform. And for LinkedIn, it's continue to give them new and formats, new ways to express themselves that feel natural and genuine to them. It's connecting them with people that they feel comfortable with and want to and can build their careers with. So one example is we launched the cover story. If you've seen it on the LinkedIn profile, you can record a 30 second video where you introduce yourself. And for Gen Z, that's like much more important than my picture. Like, I want to tell you something about myself, or I want to introduce, especially if I'm early in career and I don't feel like I have all of the experiences, and I want to tell you what I have to offer. So you'll see us doing more and more of those things, more creativity with the profile, so that Gen Z can express themselves in ways that feel more natural to them. They're also leading a lot of our conversations on the platform about changing workplace norms. So if you follow some of the wonderful conversations, Ellie Middleton, for example, is an amazing member we found who loves to talk about her ADHD and what that meant and how she's brought that to the workplace and really owned it. And in so doing, I think has given permission to tons of professionals to feel like they can talk about things that they might not have before. So definitely working arm in arm with them to create a workplace that I'm really optimistic will fit people and let people find what fits them best going forward.
I love that. And I love the fact that there seems to be a closing gap now between the professional person and the human that you are. And that actually, if you come to work as your all-round human, you could actually do better than trying to sort of keep certain things away from the workplace. And I think Gen Z challenge us to say, let me be my all-round human, because my attributes may be in me. They might not be on experience because I haven't had that yet. So a kind of crazy question, a future forecasting question, as you plan and as you look at all the changes, 5 years from now, any thoughts about how LinkedIn might be showing up?
Yeah, I mean, I think 5 years from now, hopefully we're just a bigger, more effective version of what we're trying to do now. So I think 5 years from now, I hope everyone feels like they can go LinkedIn and find in their feed a combination of the insights they need to do their jobs better, inspiration to kind of think differently about what they do, confidence, community. So all of those things we're trying to build that, like, as a professional feel right, I hope, and that we're doing it on a bigger, broader scale for more people. So a lot of what our focus on right now is expanding the definition of professional. Some people see themselves currently in the definition. What's good from our research is that everyone aspirationally sees themselves in that definition. And so part of this belonging work, and if you saw some of our advertising work in the fall, it's around welcome professionals. It's just around expanding, to your point, that definition of what is professional. But what doesn't change is, like I said, that safe, trusted, respectful discourse, that we're a place where truly, if you're coming to LinkedIn, if you're creating on LinkedIn, if you're contributing on LinkedIn, it's all in service of creating economic opportunity for yourself and for others. And so there is this greater purpose that we're all working to, which is like belief that we can all create more opportunity together. I'm really hopeful that we can be a safe, positive force in the world that helps humans and humanity reach their potential and find the agency that every human wants.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that we haven't touched on today, Mel?
I think we touched on, I mean, just thank you to you. Thank you to all the listeners. Like, we're building this community together. So we value everyone's contributions. We value everyone's feedback. I think we're seeing more and more companies coming on to the platform right now and sharing what they stand for as a company, as their talent is looking. We didn't talk much about that, but you know, I looked at the data and over 14,000 companies have now put on their company page what they stand for in terms of their values and their diversity statements. And we know more and more talent are looking for those things. So I'd say if you're listening and you're part of a company, who you are and what you stand for in the world matters, and we can help make sure that that is expressed to the world. So yeah, just really appreciate the opportunity and just excited to build this platform together with all the professionals out there.
Thank you so much, Mel. And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for coming on, for sharing your insights. And to our listeners, thank you so much for listening to The Trustmakers.
Thank you for tuning into The Trustmakers, an Edelman podcast in partnership with Advertising Week, where we speak with leaders and other trust builders across institutions. See you next time.